If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
The most famous professional wrestler ever, who crossed into pop culture decade after decade, who became immensely popular in the 80s and it continued throughout, had difficult times in his personal life that were magnified, had a show about his family, became a part of the Donald Trump campaign, and is still known as someone who was central to the rise of the then WWF, now WWE. Hulk Hogan dies today at 71. Wade Keller has been covering wrestling as a true journalist since the late 80s. We first met Wade, I'm thinking, in the early 90s somewhere, maybe even when The Fan began. Wade Keller is an outstanding journalist in covering pro wrestling, and we're lucky to have Wade Keller on from, if you want to check out his publication on a regular basis, pwtorch.com. He's also on X, and you can check out his excellent material. Wade, like all of our guests, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. When you think of the power of Hulk Hogan and his success and his essential role in WWE becoming this billion-dollar industry, what comes to mind, sir?
I think the wrestling industry is a different place without Hulk Hogan. It's a fascinating conversation that I've had many times with people who, you know, follow this industry closely and study it and try to speculate about how many things were inevitable about national expansion, growing popularity, international expansion, just taking off even more recently with WWE Raw moving to Netflix and being seen everywhere. And Hogan at least accelerated a lot of that. And it'll be debated for a long time. You know, where would wrestling be without him?
Sure.
I mean, no question about it. From the mid '80s until, you know, 2000, he was the biggest name in this industry. And right around that late '90s, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin burned hotter than Hulk Hogan ever did. But it was a shorter span of time. And then he had The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, take off. But again, he burned hot for a short period of time, went to Hollywood, and then only dropped in. So when you look at national era stars, Hulk Hogan stands above them all for duration. And obviously just national and truly international name recognition.
You know this better than I, but for a long time, wrestling had these regional outlets. And Vern Gagne obviously had the one here for decades after decades after decades. And when Vince McMahon bought the entity from his father, WWF, he decided in some way, and I want you to explain in much greater depth, I'm going to try to go nationwide. I'm going to go challenge the Gagnes and the other folks across the country. And landing Hulk from Gagne was a huge part of that. So you answered it a little bit. Like, can they have that national success, Wade, and squash their competitors in the 80s if McMahon and Hogan aren't this perfect pair to drive this force onto itself, which made them bigger and caused their competitors to say, uncle, we're giving up?
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of a perfect sports analogy. I remember watching late night reruns of the NBA Finals as a little kid, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and that brought me into the NBA. I was a fan then.
Sure.
And Hogan had that effect in terms of bringing new people in, no question about it. I'll dispel a myth. Attendance was better in the years before Hogan than during Hogan's peak because Vince McMahon Jr. consolidated wrestling. And when I say he's known for expanding, but he consolidated what the national brand of wrestling was because the territory system was going to be antiquated anyway. And so Hulk Hogan was kind of like Michael Jordan, too, in the sense that he was a singular figure that dominated for a while. And so kind of a sports discussion might be, who would the NBA champions have been if not for Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
It probably would have been a variety of people. Maybe Clyde Drexler would have had his turn. Hakeem would have. That's the answer to Hulk Hogan. If not for Hogan, I think different people would have their turns. But I don't know that we would have seen one person rise. Maybe Ric Flair. Maybe Kerry Von Erich. Jimmy Superfly Snuka was talked about by Vince McMahon as a backup plan. But the wheels were in motion. It was serendipity. The wheels were in motion for the territories to go away, essentially, and for there to be a national company because of the new technology of pay-per-view, because of cable television bringing stars, including the Ric Flair-based regional company in the Southeast. That about the Four Horsemen because of that. So things were in motion to go national anyway. You and I watched world-class championship wrestling with the Von Erichs and Freebirds in syndication.
Sure, yep.
Before the expansion.
Yep.
So the expansion was going to happen, but Hulk Hogan was sort of that Michael Jordan-esque figure that accelerated it, unified it, and really did give Vince McMahon an advantage with that marketable top star to go mainstream, be on Saturday Night Live. He was in the Rocky movie before going to WWE, but certainly that raised his star power too.
How much of the persona which was created, which allowed him to be this megastar, was Terry Bollea, who is Hulk Hogan, was his own idea versus Vince saying, this is who I think you need to be? It had to be some combination of the two, but how much was Hogan saying, this is what we should do, compared to McMahon being the master, the dictator, and saying, I'll tell you who it's going to be, and then it turned out to work out so brilliantly for both of them?
Vince McMahon took a finished product in Hulk Hogan and Hulkamania and had the marketing skills to amplify it and expand it. But the Hulk Hogan, who I watched in the AWA, wrestle Nick Bockwinkel, cut those memorable promos with the t-shirts, with the slogans on them. He'd start promos with his back turned, with a slogan on the back. He'd turn around, and then there'd be another slogan on the front.
Yes.
Hulk was already marketing. And Vince McMahon just amplified it. Hulk Hogan was a finished product when Vince McMahon Jr. sent a message through a middleman to Hulk Hogan. Well, I think he was at an AWA show in Chicago and said, call him. And then Vince McMahon lured him over after Hogan had a falling out with Vern Gagne over t-shirts. Vern started selling Hulk Hogan t-shirts when Hogan was in Japan. And Hulk got back and said, where's my cut? And Vern goes, you don't get a cut. That's the version Hogan tells. I think that's quite true.
Yeah.
And Vern didn't think Hogan would go anywhere. And then Vince McMahon offered him a deal. And he went, and the rest is history. So, Vern had Vern treated Hulk Hogan as a star and brought him in essentially as a partner because he was a big enough deal and a big enough draw. Clearly, the future of the industry at that point. AWA might still be around today.
Couple last points with Wade Keller, who's been covering wrestling going back to the 80s, watching wrestling well before it. He's as good a journalist as you're going to get on a day like this. You want to check out Wade's excellent work. Go online, pwtorch.com. Pro Wrestling Torch is the way to track down Wade's information. Okay, among his issues on the negative side.
Yeah.
Which one of those stands out most to you?
I think the racist comments were most defining. Hulk Hogan's last big appearance for WWE was on the Raw debut on Netflix last January, earlier this year. He got booed.
Yep.
It was embarrassing. WWE at one point, when the anti-black comments came out and like jailhouse conversations with his son and other recordings with friends, WWE erased him from, they just canceled him, basically took him off the website and all that. They ended up trying to ease him back in years later. Paul Levesque was sort of sympathetic. Triple H, who took over from Vince McMahon on the creative side, was kind of sympathetic to the idea of trying to rehab him. But yeah, that turned a lot of people against him, who forgave him for the steroid scandals of the early 90s because, so many people were doing it. It was the thing to do. Hogan told me in an interview I did with him 25 years ago, biggest mistake he ever made was lying on Arsenio Hall, saying he never took steroids to enhance muscles, just a couple times to repair some injuries. That really set the wheels in motion because people stopped trusting anything he said. So I would say, unfortunately for him, and it's sad, and he bungled the PR handling of it. I don't know how you spin the things he said when he didn't think anyone was listening. It was very revealing. That I think really soured. And unfortunately for him, I think eclipses the other scandals, especially the steroid-related stuff.
Well, my youngest son loves wrestling, Wade, so we still watch. And when they had that debut of Netflix, and they had every single star, and when he came out, I was listening to those boos and saying, my God, if you were watching this in the 80s and 90s, and you would think Hulk Hogan comes out still with some wrestling, and that, my God, most of the crowd is just booing him and saying, get off the stage. Yeah. You wouldn't even believe it.
Yeah, and he tried to spin it afterwards as, well, people remember me as a heel, as a villain in WWE. Nobody bought it, you know, and you know, it was sad, but it was of his own doing.
Yep, exactly.
You know, and some of it was, you're just the nostalgia show, and we're here to celebrate the future, but the vast majority of it was how poorly he responded to being exposed for having said very racist things on multiple occasions in what he thought would remain private conversations, which makes it worse, because that's very revealing.
Yeah, that's really who you are. Hey, I hope you're having a lot of success. I still consume your information. I really appreciate you coming on a busy day, and be well going forward.
Thanks, Chad. Great connecting with you, and appreciate you having me on.
Wade Keller, outstanding as well, always. Wasn't surprised in any way. Wade's been covering this as a very good journalist for a long time. Jim Brunzell knew Terry Bollea for a long time, going back to their AWA days, their WWE days. Jim Brunzell on Hulk Hogan when we come back. My friend Jim Brunzell is kind enough to join us. He loves music. He lives wrestling. Jimmy, we have a bumper music theme every day. I have no part of it. Dave Harrigan, the producer you just talked to, always tells me, stay in your lane. You're not allowed. Even when I love music, he doesn't let me. Dave, tell Jim and our audience the name of that song.
It's called Hulk Hogan Slammed Andre the Giant by Wolfie's Just Fine, I believe, an artist out of Canada.
Well, he did. He did.
That must have been that must have got cracked the top 150.
Yeah,
it's on the list.
1.5 billion, maybe. That's where that's the list that's on. But that is one of the signature moments of Hulk Hogan's career when he matched up with Andre the Giant. It was indomitable, invincible, and nobody would beat him. And Hulk beats him and wins the championship there. When, and I appreciate you coming on, my friend, when did you first meet Terry Bollea, Hulk Hogan?
Well, he came into Minneapolis, and I think it was either 78 or 79. And I had a gym that I opened in White Bear Lake called Jumpin' Jim's, gym. And I met him at Channel 11. And we got along, and we knew, you know, I had some friends in the business that knew of him. And then, you know, I had followed him a little bit when he was in New York. And then when he got here, he just blew the tires off of everything. I mean, he was the biggest thing to hit the AWA ever.
And it was right away, correct?
Oh, incredible. I mean, he was a total package. I mean, he was a good-looking guy. He was athletic, you know, and he could talk, and he had thousands and thousands of tons of charisma. I mean, he was a golden goose, you know, and he had it rocking here, man. And then when he went to the WWE, I mean, it was all over for the 26 territories in the United States that were pro wrestling, because Vince took all the talent, and he had everybody to thank, and the biggest person to thank was Hulk Hogan, the Golden Goose.
Did you like him consistently as a person as long as you knew him?
Yes, I knew him 45 years. And I tell you, you know, a lot of people ask about Hulk. He was a quiet guy. You know, he had, you know, two different lives, you know, Hulk Hogan and Terry Bollea. And, you know, I saw him in Japan. When I was there, I think, can't remember, it might have been in 70-something, 78 or something like that. And he's 6'7" and 310 pounds. And he got on the mat and wrestled Antonio Inoki, who was the Japanese champion.
He was a huge star at that point, right?
Oh, yeah. And Hulk just went in there and just, I mean, it was like, you know, watching Brad Rangins wrestle, you know, Nick Bockwinkel. It was just a great scientific wrestling match. And Hulk, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but he was a pretty good bass guitar player. Mm. And when he came to Minneapolis, I had some friends from White Bear who played in a band called Fragile. It was Jigs Lee and John Cast and Ron Rutz and Leroy Schultz. And I brought Hulk out to him one time. I can't remember. I don't know if it was Bunkers or where, but he got up and he played dun 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 dun. I'm trying to think of it, Buddy Guy or something like that.
Yeah.
And
he was pretty good.
It was incredible. He was incredible.
Really?
He was a great, that's what his first love was, I think, you know, playing guitar.
Wow. I never heard that about him. Jim Brunzell is with us. Okay. Did Vern go get him, or did Hulk say, here's a place I want to go and I can dominate? How did that transaction work when he was here?
Well, I think it was a little bit of both. He had left New York. And, you know, he could have gone anywhere. And he still had his gig in Japan, you know, for 6 to 10 weeks a year. And Vern got him here. And I think he even surprised Vern with his athletic ability and his charisma. And, you know, the fact that he just blew the doors open. It was record sellout after sellout after sellout. I mean, it was just phenomenal.
We were talking before you with Wade Keller, and I know this has come up before. Do you think Vern at that point just should have went to him and said, I'm going to make you a partner? You know, let's share this. I mean, for me to keep going, I can't have you just as a wrestler. I need to make you a partner. Is that realistic?
No.
Yep. How come?
And personally, this is my own feeling.
Sure.
And I've known Vern since I was 17 years old, 18 years old. I personally feel that because of Hulk Hogan, what his caricature was in wrestling and what he portrayed was totally different than the all-American athlete like Vern Gagne. And I just think personally that that might have hurt Vern's ego, even though if he would have done that, I think, you know, and who knows. Hulkamania started here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and then it found its way to New York. But if he would have been the champion here, no telling. I mean, AWA would probably still be here.
This is Jumpin' Jim Brunzell. We're talking about the news today. Hulk Hogan dead at the age of 71. Jim, when some of the recordings came out where he's saying awful racist terms, including the worst one, a lot of his public image changed, including when he shows up at the Netflix opening act, when Netflix paid just an extraordinary amount of money to have WWE, to have Raw every Monday. Mm-hmm. And it was in LA, right, and it was star after star, and they're getting cheered. And when he comes out, that place booed him. I mean, a lot of that place booed him. How do you think he reacted to that?
Well, you know, somebody else asked me about his racial, feelings. And, Chad, to be honest with you, I like I said, I knew him 45 years. I never, ever got an inkling that he was a racist. He never said anything about any black wrestler, any situation. Probably the reason why they booed him is because he was a Trumpster. That's probably why they booed him.
I think it was both, right? I think some were mad, the politics. And I listen, you know me, I know you, I believe you, that whenever he was around you, but I also heard those comments. I mean, he said them. And with some people, they were disgusted by it.
Well, to be honest with you, Chad, I never heard him.
Yep.
I had heard wind of it And it just didn't sound like him.
Yep.
And, you know, here's, I just want, you know, in the last 5 years or 6 years or 10 years, he's had 8 to 10 major surgeries on his back. And one of his surgeries lasts 10 hours. Hmm. And then it went up to his neck. And then I think his neck surgery precipitated this cardiac arrest that he had this morning.
Yeah.
Because he had trouble with his neck, and they had mentioned, I saw some clips from Florida that he was in to see his cardiologist about some, you know, something that had gone wrong and with his rhythm. And then, you know, I didn't hear anything else of it. And then all of a sudden I'm driving home from working out and I heard he died. I had to pull over.
Yeah, I bet you did.
And I talked to Brian Blair, who was really a close friend of his.
What did he say?
And he could barely talk. He said that Nick, Hulk's son, called him at 8:47 this morning and told him that he'd passed from a cardiac arrest. And Brian said, he said, Jimmy, he said, my phone's been ringing. And he said, I just can't talk anymore. And he says, I'll see you in that. So, and, you know, it was such a shock because, you know, for wrestling itself is an abuse of the body. And you know, when you're 6'7" and 310 pounds and hitting the ropes and jumping up 7-8 feet in the air and then landing on your rear.
It's hard on you.
For years, you know, it's going to do damage to you.
For sure.
And that's what it did. And people don't realize that. But, you know, there's a wear and tear that's incredible.
You sound great, sir. Stay healthy. Our paths will cross soon. And I always appreciate you helping us out.
Well, I appreciate your time, and also I appreciate your show. It's very, I like it. I call in probably too much, but
no, you don't.
Keep it up.
Keep calm.
Keep it up, Chad. Okay, peace, brother.
All right, peace to you, my friend. Jimmy Brunzell, a couple segments on Hulk Hogan. I mean, again, if you're thinking, well, it's wrestling. He's pop culture.
Cultural icon.
I mean, in the
icon.
80s and 90s, he was everywhere. And even now, if you just said his name, Hulk Hogan, people are going to know it. They might say, oh, yeah, he's a wrestler. They might know like a long, long list. I was going to ask Major, we were running out of time, because Major gets, you know, what show, what movies and actors should get an Oscar? I was going to say, it's true that the Hulkster was denied an Oscar in Rocky III, right?
Yeah, I mean, Thunder Lips, dynamic character.
He was very good, actually. All right, our guy Collar. It'll be a part of the show all throughout the football season. The Vikings are about to start dominating every headline on the planet in this state. So, Collar on the Purple when we come back.